Like, it's not pay for play, but it's pay for play. I mean, that's what's happening. You know, you're looking around and you're seeing kind of super teams being put together. You're seeing guys leaving schools and getting six-figure deals to go to other schools.
Hopefully we can come back into place to what it needs to be and truly regulate it at the point where we have a player that's capable of getting on a commercial because a company wants to use them, then that's awesome. That's what it was for. But nobody should be just getting money as an inducement to come play any sport at any school.
I want to give to that, and I haven't yet. I want to. I'm close. But I need more transparency than what's being done right now, right? There's no real, like, what's this guy getting paid? Who's getting this money? And I know it's not supposed to be pay for play, right?
Those are the voices in and around Maryland Athletics, each telling you about how the new college landscape of name, image, and likeness has changed their rules and what Maryland's doing to compete in the new outlook of college sports.
Hi, and welcome to Under the Shell, presented by Terrapin Sports Central. I'm Brendan Wiesel.
Sam Jane.
Michael Big Mike Howes.
And this is Under the Shell. This might not sound like your usual episode of Under the Shell, and that's because over the past few weeks, we have taken a super deep dive into the NIL landscape at the University of Maryland.
Yeah, we wanted to understand how athletes have been using their name, image, and likeness for profit and to build their own personal brands.
We figured out the main players behind Maryland's NIL approach, the people who are putting up money in Jameer Young's pocket. Even more, we figured out how the Terps stack up compared to their rivals as Damon Evans' athletic department tries to compete with the Ohio States and Texas A&Ms of the world.
Today, we are going to be talking to players, coaches, NIL directors, licensing agencies, and more. Stick around to hear how the new NIL landscape is affecting your Maryland Terrapins and why you should care.
So, NIL has clearly changed the way that college sports are heading and where it even is right now. But how much is it really impacting people day to day, guys?
The director of NIL services for Maryland Athletics, Grayson Wagner, told us over 200 student-athletes have disclosed an NIL deal via Open Doors. With over 200 student-athletes in total, that means the majority of athletes don't yet have deals.
But that's also completely reliant on the deals that are disclosed to us through Open Doors. So there may be more out there as well. But that's kind of the number I would look at, would be the probably 30 to 40% range.
Wagner ballparks that just 30 to 40% of athletes at Maryland have signed a singular deal or more. But every program has at least one student-athlete ink an NIL deal.
Since July of 2021, college athletes have been able to profit off their name, image, and likeness, an issue that long drew controversy throughout the college landscape. The NCAA was forced to allow the rule change as the U.S. Supreme Court ruled unanimously in favor of the athletes.
It's not often you get a U.S. Supreme Court unanimous rule change, so we asked Wagner the primary ways athletes in College Park are making their money.
One is through collectives. So we have a couple of collectives representing student athletes at the school here and supporting them. Another is direct brand deals. So let's say a corporate sponsor like a CQ or a carrier reaches out and wants to work with a student athlete. That's another good way. And then the third one is kind of marketplace deals.
Collectives, brand deals, and marketplace deals. Let's help break that down. To do that, we spoke with Bill Carter, NIL expert and consultant for studentathletesinsight.com.
You know, prior to the summer of 2021, did we think that boosters, for instance, could have been an important, would eventually play an important part in NIL? And the answer is yeah, but I don't think anybody would have guessed precisely that as we sit here in, you know, April of 2023, that there would be over 200 collectives.
So, you heard it from Bill. An NIL collective or foundation are groups made up of fans and boosters who pool together money so that they can compensate athletes. Yet, they're separate from the athletic department and team funding. While coaches are in contact with the collectives, they aren't really the ones running the ship.
They can't directly pay players, so it often means going out into the community and getting paid to do service or getting paid to show up at an event like a book signing.
At Maryland, we see three collectives and possibly more on the way. The Best is Ahead Foundation supports the football team, Turtle NIL supports men's basketball, and Hardshell Collective supports men's lacrosse.
Brand deals are where it gets a little bit simpler for you guys. Any brand could partner with any athlete to give them a sponsorship, much like what you see in pro sports. Former professional tight end Vernon Davis can partner with Under Armour, and now former Maryland college wide receiver Rakim Jarrett did the same thing just this past season.
The third way is with marketplace deals. The University of Maryland uses the Open Doors Marketplace, where athletes have individual pages where fans can get videos, autographs, and more.
Prices differ across each player and each deal. The cost often has to do with the popularity and social media following. Players such as Maryland women's basketball's Faith Masonis charge larger sums for Open Doors transactions than her teammate Cheyenne Sellers because she has more followers. Masonis has around 20,000 followers, while Sellers only has around 5,000 followers on Instagram.
The landscape of college athletics had to react fast to adapt to the new NIL game. To understand more how universities were dealing with that, we asked Mark Hyman, the director of the Shirley Povich Center for Sports Journalism at Maryland, what he had seen change in the past 2 years.
It's really changed, I think, the power dynamic in college sports. And I think that that's been difficult for some in college administration, athletic administration, to adjust to.
Unlike the professional sports leagues in America, there is just no regulation of what fair compensation and deals look like. This means the marketplace for each athlete can depend on the school they play for and that specific donor base.
And there are all sorts of compliance issues, which are very complicated and which neither the NCAA or member schools have really figured out. You know, the relationship between the work that students do and the compensation that they receive, that's the Wild West. I mean, you can sit outside a car dealership and sign autographs for an hour, and what's that worth? Is it worth $50,000? At some schools, it probably is right now.
And the specific value a player is worth is where it can get confusing, and feelings inside locker rooms can get hurt. Former Austin Peay women's basketball player Breanne Alexander and sister of Maryland women's basketball player Brene Alexander spoke to just that.
I'm clearly the better basketball player. Like my name, image, likeness, is clearly the one that's pushing this program, you know, to wins. And I'm not seeing anything from that.
At Maryland, 17 of the 20 athletic teams are without a specific collective. So they turn to other places for support and research on how to boost their brand as an athlete. This comes in the form of education, Mike.
The first is through the athletic department. Here's the NIL Director of Services take on the education.
We just did some sessions with CQ a couple weeks ago about financial literacy and making sure that there's preparation around that. But I'd like to have more consistent education throughout the year as well, that we kind of build up and make sure that the student athletes are at the end of the day also seeing value in it.
For those who have a collective, they can lean on them for support as well. Dan Crowley, the executive vice president for the Best is Ahead Foundation, the football collective, told us how one of those deals would go down.
If somebody does contact Talia Tungavaloa and say, I want to do a deal, well, we have somebody on staff that's working on that marketing deal for that player.
So you heard from Dan and Grayson what are the two ways they can do it. But the final way is through independent licensing agencies that can partner with athletes and help them with deals. Brennan, one of those companies is Brandar. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, Sam. Brandar partners with Maryland and other universities to help players make deals. Currently, over 90 Maryland athletes have partnered with Brandar, according to the Executive Vice President for Strategy and Systems, Dave Schroeder.
So what does Brandar really do to help the athletes? Well, for one, they work with the other companies to use the rights of players for merchandise. When Maryland baseball pitcher Ryan Ramsey threw a perfect game just last season, Brandar helped him receive money by creating shirts to commemorate that special moment.
But the second way that Brandar can help is by leveraging an athlete's NIL in with universities to create partnerships that go beyond just the one player. So when you see Julian and Angel Reese out on the Bobby promoting Outback Steakhouse new jumbo deal, that's the type of deal Brandar would help facilitate, B.
Exactly, Sam. Those deals with two or more players. And Dave Schroeder said the third way they help athletes is with the media.
Student athletes are almost twice as effective as influencers over, you know, non-athletes. And so there's a ton of value in that.
Here in College Park, Maryland fans can look forward to a deal next season that Brandar helped create.
We're really excited about what we're launching for our sideline apparel with Under Armour in the fall. That's a great example of, you know, we'll have in the fall, we'll have the jerseys that the football players wear, basketball, those kind of things. And it'll extend then into Olympic sports as we go.
Brandar serves as the middleman to help players get deals. But despite that, not all fan bases, deals, and collectives are created equally.
Maryland football was one of the last Big Ten schools to launch a collective, but now they are working to compete with the others.
NIL opened in June of 2021, so not even 2 years ago. And I think because of that, that's when conversations really started for me to think, how can I help Mike Locksley achieve his goal of competing for a Big Ten championship? A year later was last summer, and that's when we really sat down with Coach Locks and said, here's our business plan. Here's what we think we can do. The University of Maryland does not have an NIL program in place for Maryland football. And every other school in the Big Ten has a program, except for Northwestern at the time.
While Crowley may know where the money is going, the lack of education on what NIL is and where the money is going is scaring some supporters off from giving to the collectives.
Yeah, be longtime booster of Maryland athletics and current mentor for players on the football team, Fernando Palacios has his doubts.
I want to give to that, and I haven't yet. I want to up close, but I need more transparency than what's being done right now, right? There's no real, like, what's this guy getting paid? Who's getting this money?
Maryland Athletics is still trying to educate fans about the scope of NIL in this new era of trying to raise money for collectives as well.
The Terrapin Club, which is Maryland's in-house way to help raise money for the athletic department, has a goal of raising $25 million annually from more than 10,000 donors, according to the department.
Ever since the new NIL landscape began, athletic departments and collectives have now added more to the plate of donors.
I think the important thing to consider is that, like, every piece of that, whether you're donating to the Terrapin Club, whether you're donating to an NIL collective, they're all feeding back to the student athlete and making sure that the student athlete experience is being improved in some capacity. So we should never be viewed as competing entities, because I think NIL and Terrapin Club should be synonymous with each other.
Just like Palacios and other boosters have echoed, more education needs to be done. That's the job of Kirby Mills, Senior Associate Athletic Director and Chief Development Officer at Maryland.
That's a handful of a title, Brendan, but Mills is constantly telling people where they should give their money and what exactly the difference is between giving to the collective versus giving to the athletic department.
We have a lot of priorities, and that's that can be viewed as a bad thing. And in a lot of ways, I think it's a good thing. That means we've got a lot of tools in our tool belt for our team to go talk to donors about where they can support and priorities of the athletic department, obviously NIL and supporting our student athletes in this manner being one of them.
It goes beyond just education. The collectives are trying to raise fan support. Collectives such as Turtle NIL, the men's basketball collective on campus, says they've had better success with businesses than fan support.
Yet, the collective has encountered issues with consistent fundraising. At Turtle NIL, the group hopes to have 500-plus subscribers across all levels for the club's membership packages by the start of next season, a number that they weren't close to this past season. Grayson Wagner, director of NIL services, thinks fan support is on the way.
I think we have a great fan base and one that really wants to get involved. But I think the biggest thing is just the awareness of the different ways that they can help. Right now, not everybody might not know how to give to men's basketball or to TBIF or Hardshell.
Something the fan base is surely seeing from the NIL side is community service. It's an area that Maryland's collectives are extremely proud of.
I say that's where we are the leader, especially in the Big Ten. I think we are way out in front. We've had over 50 players that have been working for the Best as a Head Foundation, and the impact that they're making on this community, young people, police department of Washington, D.C., has been incredible.
It's such an interesting thing because it goes into the gray area of, are we doing it as, you know, incentive for reward, or is just the benefit that community service has over outweigh those two? And I think that's a question that will continue to be asked no matter where we get to in NIL. And it's something that Mark Hyman thinks that maybe the community service aspect could get out of hand.
You know, compensating athletes to be doing work in the community, to connecting with fans and nonprofits in their community, that's great. And I think that's an inspired idea. Problem with collectives is that they can be abused, and they can be a vehicle for funneling money to athletes for work, you know, and valuing that work in unrealistic ways.
While Crowley believes they are the leader in what they can give back to the community because Maryland's location within the DMV, their players' supposed values are not quite there.
Yeah, Mike, we looked at the On3 Sports value tracker to see how Maryland players stack up with the rest.
But we need to make one thing clear about On3 and the data they provide. NIL expert Bill Carter explains the difference between what On3 puts out and what athletes are actually making.
Valuation means somebody, in this case On3, has created a model to the best of their ability, largely focused on social media fans and followers and engagement, as well as some other things that they put into their modeling. And with that, they create a valuation, which is their estimate as to the amount of money that a student athlete might be able to earn on the open market. That's not the same as a value. A value is when we can look backwards as to what an athlete actually received.
Now that we know that, let's break down some of the data.
Figuring out specific marketplaces for players is not concrete, but we can get an idea of where Maryland stacks up based on the valuation.
Between the top 1,200 players in the country, Maryland has just 5 with a valuation in that range. Taulia Tagovailoa is at the top with a $405,000 valuation.
The top 100 among Maryland athletes, 97 are men and 3 are women. None of the 3 women rank in the top 50 of Maryland's NIL valuation. Despite that, Wagner told us that 52% of the NIL deals that are disclosed are from men and the other 48% are from women. What we can draw from that is that it likely means many of the deals that women are getting are at a significantly lower dollar amount than the men, guys.
And within the top 100, there were 76 football players, 13 men's lacrosse players, 8 men's basketball players, and just 1 from women's lacrosse, women's basketball, and the gymnastics team.
One part of NIL that can be tricky is that the valuation of a player oftentimes relates to their social following and not their play.
Continuing with this trend, the number of followers often correlates with a player's total value for NIL deals in the marketplace. Vanderbilt junior Enrique Bradfield Jr. is the number one most valuable college baseball player according to On3's NIL valuations. Bradfield is the number 8 MLB prospect according to MLB.com and has 73,000 followers. Meanwhile, Maryland shortstop Matt Shaw is the number 20th ranked MLB draft prospect, yet has no social media presence. The lack of a social media correlates with Shaw not reaching On3's college baseball rankings, while also not being on Maryland's top 100.
Let's discuss the one place where Maryland clearly excels in NIL. Just like most things, it's men's lacrosse. Of the 23 players listed on the On3 tracker, Maryland has 19 of them. All 19 of those players and more on the roster have deals with the Hardshell Collective. Maryland didn't skip a beat on getting ahead of the NIL landscape in college lacrosse.
There aren't many specifics on monetary value of player deals at Maryland, as well as how much the collectives were raising. While many schools publish these numbers frequently, Maryland hasn't updated them since 2021.
We may know a little less about number-wise with Maryland than compared to other schools, but here are some of the numbers we do know.
They're doing a video shout-out for a fan, you know, probably $20 to $75 or instruction of some sort, where that's just the marketplace deal. To if you're doing some sort of appearance, usually, you know, $5 to $500 to like $1,000-ish.
Some of the big-time deals for players like Jameer Young go much higher.
A lot of student athletes projecting, you know, around $100,000, $200,000 is what we usually see for, you know, across the country as well. I think that's kind of been a main number for kind of your higher profile athletes in some capacity.
Yet, we still had questions about where Maryland's collective stacked up with the rest of the country.
It's hard to compete with schools like Tennessee and its collective Spire Sports, whose owner Hunter Baudour announced that the goal was to raise $25 million annually. Maryland has that goal for the entire department. Tennessee has that goal for just the collective, and that money is going straight into the pockets of players and recruits.
And Brendan, another very publicized school with large NIL numbers was the University of Miami. Under the lead of the CEO of LifeWallet, John Ruiz, more than 110 active Miami athletes have been signed to his companies, LifeWallet and Cigarette Racing. Ruiz himself has allocated $10 million to spend on the student athletes. Clearly, Maryland collectives recognize this difference between schools, as Turtle NIL's Alex O'Neill think we need more guidelines and restrictions.
Yeah, I think there needs to be some more rules in place and sort of enforcing of the rules. You know, they come out with guidelines and they're not all necessarily, you know, enforce. But yeah, I mean, there's been some crazy deals that make no sense at other schools that are just, you know, not market value at all.
When we talked to Maryland's director of NIL services, Grayson Wagner, he mentioned that Maryland could do much better informing its fans about how to support their favorite teams and athletes.
But from the fan perspective, they might not have the incentive to donate money to do just that. When we spoke to Fernando Palacios, who's the longtime booster you heard earlier, he mentioned that one of the reasons he hasn't donated to collectives yet was the lack of transparency on the NIL side from Maryland.
Yeah, the transparency is an issue for me, and I know it's an issue for a couple friends of mine who give to the Terrapin Club, and I've tried to push them to give to the NIL, and they have money, a lot of money. They're just hesitant without seeing, I guess, the books.
Palacios has an issue with the transparency and the lack of it that Maryland's displaying, but I think another issue that, you know, boosters have brought up is that they don't really necessarily know how to donate to Maryland women's teams or other, you know, non-revenue sports.
It's the women's sports where some of the biggest differences between Maryland and other athletic departments lie.
There's no bigger example of this than when Maryland's women's basketball team stepped on the floor in the Elite Eight against South Carolina. When the Gamecocks took the floor, each player did so with at least $25,000 in NIL money in their pockets, according to a Bleacher Report article.
Meanwhile, when Maryland did so, they did it with an extremely limited number of deals. A team spokesperson confirmed that while every member received a limited deal for a customizable t-shirt, deals beyond that were limited and up to a player's discretion.
But senior markswoman Brene Alexander, someone who made 6 threes against Iowa in a ranked home win, revealed her NIL earnings were not close to the Gamecock players. Alexander revealed she only made $150 this season from selling her own t-shirts.
150 doesn't quite stack up with 25,000.
No, it doesn't.
Female athletes at Maryland aren't quite competing with the men in the NIL world, in part because of the lack of collectives. Brene's sister hopes that will change.
I really would love, love, love to see us with a more comprehensive NIL collective, because I think truly it would take you having to have a relationship with these people to be able to brand and market them.
And unsurprisingly to families out there, her sister agrees.
All of my deals are pretty much like brokered on my own, but I do think there would be more opportunities if we did have a collective.
With no collectives, the weight of NIL falls on the athlete's own brand and self-advertising. Social media is the largest avenue that women are able to utilize for NIL money, along with Open Doors, which is a vehicle for student athletes to make videos and report deals.
According to the data we received from Open Doors through June of 2022, 93% of nationwide donor compensation goes to male student athletes, while 72% of fan compensation goes to those same players. So what's the difference between those two? Nationwide donor compensation means people that are giving to the athletic department that have, you know, large sums of money. Those are your boosters. Those are your Fernando Palacios, from what you heard when him talking earlier. Fan compensation is more of the idea of Open Doors, collectives contributing to those. So that's the main difference, is that these are the boosters that are contributing 93%, while the fans are contributing 72%. And where the real money lies is with the boosters. So that kind of contributes to the big difference, Brendan.
Yeah, even more stark, 91% of women's compensation comes from brands, while only 1% comes from fans. Now, specifically at Maryland, this is despite the fact that 68% of the Terps' championships since 2000 came from women's sports. That makes social media the main way for female athletes to make their earnings.
Kylie Goff, a player who coached Mark Montgomery, says he thinks is one of the top NIL people here at Maryland, spoke to her experiences with NIL.
I'm not picky and I don't care. Like, I use my social media to promote softball and my NIL. That's all I care about. I don't care what's on my Instagram. I don't care if I'm posting something very stupid, but yeah, I'm making money. It's benefiting me.
While Wagner, the NIL services coordinator here in College Park, said that Maryland and its fans can do a lot more to support their women's teams.
It takes a shift in how people view women's sports for nationwide change to happen. But the lack of collective for the Terps women's basketball team is a striking difference between them and programs of their standard on the court.
The lack of gender equity is one issue that is consistently brought up in talks within those in college sports. But another one is some of the morale questions that NIL raises.
Maryland's collective leaders all emphasize that one of the great differences between them and other schools was the community service that they provide. The Best is Ahead Foundation and Turtle NIL stress that one of the ways they improve athletes' lives is through community service.
We talked about it earlier. So while this clearly helps areas and neighborhoods around the DMV, which is nothing but positive, it also makes people wonder about the ethical practices of volunteering for incentive.
And even Mark Montgomery, Maryland's softball coach, had serious issues with this practice.
When you're getting paid $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 to go read a book to a school child, we have issues. That's wrong. It's wrong. It doesn't matter how they do it. It doesn't matter how good that they are at doing it. It doesn't matter that we're going to do it because we have to, because they're doing it. It's wrong.
Beyond that, the lack of regulation with NIL on a local and national level gives way to questionable deals. Brianne Alexander revealed how her sister, Brene, thought she had to deal with a photographer to take pictures of her playing basketball. But it wasn't quite that.
The kind of exploitation of some of the athletes, there was a man that had reached out to Brene about photography. All of his portfolio that I looked through was him just taking pictures of, like, barely legal girls in lingerie.
It's why Brene is frustrated with the lack of regulations that allows maybe for the exploitation of athletes.
Any, like, average Joe on the side of the street can, like, be like, hey, I want to give you an NIL deal for X amount of money for whatever reason.
As I said, I think there are huge challenges in terms of enforcement of NIL. Legal issues around NIL that are very complicated. There is no federal law that regulates NIL. Every state has its own law that pertains to NIL. So you can imagine how ridiculous that is, because we essentially have 50 different standards for NIL.
This is why many, like head baseball coach Rob Vaughn, are saying,
I mean, it's the Wild West right now.
Vaughn's sentiment is shared by the coach on the other diamond, Mark Montgomery, who thinks that the purest form of NIL emerges in the non-revenue sports like softball, where players like Goff can make money off their own personal brand rather than the secret, massive deals that collectives can provide.
But others disagree, Sam. It's why the topic of NIL is such a hot button, as everyone across the country is trying to figure out what the future holds.
Here in College Park, those same questions are being raised, especially when NIL becomes a huge part of the recruiting process.
The labs told us in one of our meetings for the mentors, he's like, first thing out of their mouth, not how's your university, what's the academics like, you know, how's the school, how's the team, it's like, how am I going to get paid? Who's going to pay me? What am I going to make?
With money being a big factor, schools across the country have so many players leaving and joining the transfer portal.
According to On3, more than 20% of Division I scholarship men's basketball players have entered the transfer portal. So what does Turtle NIL and Alex O'Neill think about that?
We don't speak to any recruits or transfers until they're enrolled. So, but we do try to, you know, build our brand and have a nice, you know, website and trying to build out social media and stuff.
With NIL only in its second full year, Maryland is working on education, educating players on the market, and educating boosters on the right way to support.
There are so many variables to Maryland's NIL scene. We try to take a look at who the major players are, how they stack up with the programs they want to compete against, and where the resources might be failing some of its athletes.
We talked to over 15 sources in and out of the university, and here is what we know.
We know that Maryland's collectives might lack some of the transparency within its fan base that other NIL systems might have. Not only that, but only 3 Maryland teams have their own collective, leaving out some of the best athletes on campus.
On the other hand, the athletic department and the collectives are working hard to provide players with deals and are confident that they have the right people for the job to do so.
Brendan, that's a question that will have to be answered in the near future. But that precisely is what makes NIL so intriguing.
Name, image, and likeness is something that is here to stay in college athletics. Yet how the system is in place today might change tomorrow. So in College Park, there are more roads to be paved. Thank you for listening to this deep dive into the NIL landscape at Maryland. Yes, next week, we'll be back with your terrific Terrapins and snake drafts, but we hope you enjoyed learning all about where Maryland is in the NIL game and how they're working to improve.
And make sure to check out the upcoming article written by the 3 of us on Terrapin Sports Central.
You can find Under the Shell at all of the social media places, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you get your podcasts as well, whether that be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at Terrapin Sports Central, and then you'll see the episodes listed. So please give it a listen.
For all of us here at Under the Shell, we truly thank you for listening.